I will call the June 22nd, 2023 Planning and Zoning Meeting to order. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Dunn?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye, present.
I'm here. Commissioner Galway Jones? Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Ford?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda. Looks unanimous. Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the June 28 regular meeting minutes. Were there any edits or adjustments to those minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. I'll take a thumbs up approval of the minutes. Have eight to approve the minutes. Thank you, everybody. That brings us to our first case of the evening under public hearings, case 165-2023, a request by Hayden and Colbert on behalf of PL Real Estate LLC, seeking approval to rezone 13.93 acres of property from the PD Plan Development District to the MC Mixed-Use Corridor District. The subject site is located southeast of the intersection of Grindstone Parkway and State Farm Parkway and includes the address 1110 Nifong Boulevard. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So on public notice, property owner letters were sent to 9 neighboring property owners on the 1st of June, and a Tribune ad was placed on the 6th. I have not received any public comments on this case. So, here's an aerial perspective of the site. You can see the Red Oak development is to the north and northeast here on both sides of Grindstone. That's the Walmart, and then to the south side is a gas station, a bank, and some restaurant type uses, and then some more like medical offices. Then you get into the kind of older development up to the northwest, and what was originally the Walmart is now the Hy-Vee shopping district there. And then residential to the west, directly to the west here, and we'll talk a little bit more about that on the next case. And then the single owner center or Crown Center Farms property to the south there of Nifong. And then there's a little bit of an issue, or not an issue, but something we'll talk about a little bit later with the properties immediately to the east, which are large kind of farm estate lot, single family homes, which will come into play in the future potentially. So I'll get started on this one though first. So originally the property was rezoned, I believe it was annexed in 1969 and zoned at that time, but then in 2012 there was a rezoning to planned office. It permitted multifamily uses and office, and then some artisan type commercial uses like bakeries and things of that nature. Retail was explicitly excluded from the statement of intent in 2012. No PD plan was required at that time, and so there doesn't one doesn't exist as of yet. This request would rezone to CP. I'm sorry, I put that in there wrong. It's MC, which is the mixed-use corridor district, and permit just general open commercial uses. I think we're all pretty familiar with the MC district. The properties adjacent, again, are zoned ag, and then the Red Oak South development, kind of to the northeast there, is zoned PD. So in terms of discussing the rezoning, the open MC zoning would permit an expansion of the permitted commercial uses. Like I said, originally it was more artisan industry type of things where they're just small, low-impact uses. So that is something to consider. It does, however, lie, the subject tract lies within the employment district on our comprehensive plan, which is intended for office and manufacturing, warehouses, and those types of uses, and the little more in the list there, including restaurants and convenience retail. It does, however, sit at a significant transportation node. As you noted in the introduction, it's at the corner of Grindstone Parkway and Nifong, and then State Farm Parkway as well. I think we all know that that's a fairly heavily trafficked neighborhood area, and therefore it's highly visible and also therefore highly desirable for commercial development. It is contiguous with the Red Oak development. Again, it's across Grindstone from really the bulk of it, but you know, it is kind of consistent with that nodal development that we prefer to see around those transportation intersections, major intersections. So when I said the properties to the east would potentially have an effect here, it was in terms of the extension of Grindstone Plaza Drive, which is actually not noted on this plan, but it's where Norfleet Drive comes in, and then this is Grindstone Plaza that curves down and connects to the next property over. That is planned to extend down to Nifong Boulevard through one or both of those properties there. And the reason I wanted to draw attention to that is because it could go one of two ways depending on the intensity of development in this area at some point in the future, and that Grindstone Plaza Drive could act as a limiting factor to keep the more intensive uses to the west and stop them from expanding farther to the east past Grindstone Plaza Drive, and then in the instance where we, you know, have a major boom here, it could also serve as access for a more intensive another commercial node there at the intersection of Nifong and the extension of Grindstone Plaza Drive. But all of that to say that this area will most likely be kind of an island here at a major transportation node that is kind of separated from other types of uses by the road network that will be in place. So that was all something that came into play when I considered it. So just to reiterate, MC zoning is believed to be appropriate given the location and context. The loss of development plan approval oversight is generally mitigated by our UDC standards and our neighborhood protections, which really don't, well, they will come into play if it's developed with the ag lot next to it. But if, you know, there's further development to the east, you know, all that stuff would be mitigated as we move forward. So. The land currently is underutilized since it's been zoned for over a decade now and has not been developed. The impacts of future development will also be addressed during plan review as we move forward. So a major component there is we often hear questions about stormwater and traffic, and those two items are part of our standard review process. And just as a reminder, anything that produces over 100 daily vehicle trips in the peak hour would require a traffic study. And then the traffic study would have recommendations for improvements to the traffic network that would be required prior to any development of such a proposal. So a lot of the issues that we talk about consistently are mitigated in that manner as they come in for a development application. So. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Palmer has pointed out that Grindstone Plaza Drive will extend south east of this property to Nifong. The immediately adjacent eastern parcel moving to the east of the subject site has been submitted for a requested rezoning, and it is proposed at this point that that property be considered for MN. So you're isolating the most intense MC at the corner, which is where it would be appropriate, and we're starting to taper out moving eastward with less intense zoning. So while that request has not yet been considered, it is in-house. It would basically follow the property line where you see the A on the graphic. There is a property line right there. It is just to the west of the extension of Grindstone Plaza Drive. So as Grindstone Plaza Drive is extended to provide possible access to the immediately adjacent parcel to the east that's owned by Chester Edwards, it is possible then that that extension of Grindstone Plaza Drive does provide a back door into the larger MC parcel, also providing access to the MN that is proposed and providing additional connectivity to East Nifong there at the intersection. So when you take that collectively and you look at the potential development that would occur on that, the traffic study, as Mr. Palmer points out, is more than likely going to be a requirement as we look at the development. But we're also getting proper transitioning off the more intense corner back moving into the residential development and agricultural development moving eastward from State Farm Parkway, Nifong. So that is, right now this corner is a hot spot. And the extension of the roadway of Grindstone Parkway or Plaza Drive is very possibly going to be accelerated as a result of that to gain proper access to make these two parcels, should they both be rezoned, effectively utilized in utilizing the transportation system. Traffic access directly onto State Farm Parkway from the current subject tract could be very limited given the types of uses and its location with respect to the major intersection of Nifong, Grindstone, and Green Meadows. So again, to say the least, all of that will be addressed as a part of the site plan review process once an actual development plan is submitted, which we do not have. The applicant may be able to provide more information as to what the intended uses are on the property and how it may be subdivided. But just thought I'd point that out before we got to the recommendation here for the subject site. We do have a little bit more in context in the wings.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before, was it, did that conclude the report?
My recommendation is for approval. So.
Thank you. Before we move on to questions for staff, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any expertise related to this case to please share that with the commission now so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. None. Are there any questions for staff? Commissioner Carroll.
Did the PD plan, did the SOI with the original PD plan there include or allow for any form of residential housing?
Yeah, it was anything in R3, which was single right. to multifamily, all, everything.
Additional questions for staff?
Can I ask another one?
Commissioner Carroll.
There please. Appears to be, there's a PD to the west of this property, just past State Farm Parkway on the other side of the parcel. That's for case 166. This PD just past that. It looks like there's residential housing under that PD. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a multifamily development.
It's multifamily, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Any additional questions for staff? There are none. We will open up the floor to public comment. We give 6 minutes to a group, 3 minutes to an individual. Please provide your name and address for the record.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Caleb Colbert, attorney at 827 East Broadway. Thank you for your time this evening. Actually, just wanted to jump in. Mr. Palmer indicated that we hadn't received any public comments, but Mr. Edwards had submitted a letter of support. Was that included in the packet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, thank you. To give you a little background on the property, this site was originally zoned planned to facilitate the headquarters of a bank. That project did not materialize, so the property owner is now in a position where they would like to move forward with either selling the property or developing it. And in order to do that, they would like to move it out of the planned district. And as we've discussed on many occasions, we're trying to move away from those planned districts. So once we decided we were going to move to some sort of open district, we looked at what districts would be appropriate for the site. And again, we looked at the surrounding land uses, the surrounding zoning, the road network, all those sorts of things. And as Mr. Palmer indicated, as far as the roads, we're located at a major signalized intersection. You have a major arterial in Grindstone to the north. State Farm Parkway is a major collector. Nifong Boulevard's a collector, and the extension of Grindstone Plaza is proposed to be a collector. So essentially, again, you have a very sufficient, very high traffic area to locate this property or to support the MC zoning. So aside from the existing road network, we look at the surrounding land uses. If you stand at this property and look at the northwest corner of the intersection, you have a major retail development. If you look at the northeast corner of the intersection, there's a major retail development. To the east, you have the Red Oak development, the PD there, that allows for most C3 uses. So under the old zoning code, C3 was sort of comparable to MC, what we have today. In that development, you have automotive-oriented type businesses. You have AutoZone, Plaza Tire, banks with the drive-through, restaurants, that sort of thing. All uses that would be sort of consistent with MC zoning. And again, as Mr. Palmer indicated, the property owner to the east, directly to the east, Mr. Edwards, submitted his letter of support and is looking to rezone his property to MN. So ultimately, we feel like MC is supported when you look at the surrounding uses, the surrounding road network, all those sorts of things. We did speak to the owner of the townhomes on the west side of that intersection, and he indicated that he supported this. He did not have any objections to the requested rezoning for either property that we're going to talk about. And of course, on the south side of Nifong Boulevard, that property is owned by the same family that owns the property that we're discussing this evening. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Colburn. Are there any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Wilson.
There was a point earlier made to ask what would be going, what are the potential things that could be going here?
So we have not approached or been approached by any final end users, so we don't know the answer to that question. It could be any of those uses that are allowed in the MC zoning district.
Follow up. So the reason that I'm asking is because probably not that important, but once a year, that space is going to have horrible traffic, which is when we have VU allowing us to go through to do the Christmas viewing of, you know, all of that. So just something to think about.
Sure. Yep, absolutely.
Any additional questions for this speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Colburn.
You.
Any additional speakers on this case? If there are none, we will close public comment. Commissioner comment. Commissioner McMahon.
I don't see an issue with this, and I think it's very appropriate. And with the MN next to it, it's fine. And with the family, fine with it. I don't see if there's any issue whatsoever. With that in mind, if my fellow commissioners don't have any more questions or concerns, I have a motion. Seeing none in the matter of case 165-2023, 1110 East Nifong, rezoning from PD to MC, I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Dunn. We have any discussion? We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Dunn?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
We have 8 to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to our second case of the evening, case 166-2023, a request by Hayden and Colbert on behalf of PL Real Estate LLC for approval to rezone 1.03 acres of property from RMF, multifamily residential, and A, agriculture, to MC, mixed-use corridor. The subject site is located southwest of the intersection of Grindstone Parkway and State Farm Parkway. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Again, on the public notice for this case, similar to the last one, 9 letters were sent on the 1st of June, and the Tribune ad was placed on the 6th. I use the same aerial here for a little added context, show that we've moved across State Farm Parkway now to the west side, but in the same general location. For all of that again. So this property is a remnant from the creation of State Farm Parkway. This was basically contiguous and a part of the previous property before State Farm Parkway was dedicated down the middle here. And then what you see in the gap between the current property and the residential PD to the southwest is the remaining right-of-way for what used to be Nifong Road there, Nifong Boulevard. And so that roadway has been removed, but the right-of-way still exists. And we can talk about that in a minute. But the zoning again on this one was left over from when it was approved upon annexation in 1969. And it was split along a range line, I believe, or a section line. And it had RMF to the west of that line and A to the east. And you can see that line is the yellow line down the middle of the parcel there. So yeah, this would be an extension of the requested MC zoning across State Farm Parkway on the previous property, and it would make it consistent across the two properties. So this one is a little different, as it actually lies within the neighborhood district in our comp plan, and the neighborhood district is intended to allow for a mix of residential uses with a limited number of commercial uses that provide services and support to those residents that live in the vicinity. It does still, like the other property, it lies at the same node, but however, the scale and the location kind of poses some restrictions on the property that will make it a little more limited in terms of what can be developed there. Primarily, the access is of concern here. Again, like I mentioned in the last staff report, a traffic impact analysis would be required for any use that is anticipated to produce more than 100 vehicle trips at peak hour. And in this case, it would probably require some extensive improvements that would be somewhat limiting, again, on the development potential on the property. So, you know, this property is not going to be developed with majorly intensive use is the point there. So, again, it's at a major traffic node. It's actually kind of has a built-in buffer here with the existing Nifong. Provides a spatial buffer, and then the right-of-way, if it's vacated, will still remain there basically the right-of-way would be split between the two neighboring properties, and so that at least part of that buffer will probably still remain, given that the property to the southwest is already developed. And just a side note on that, at the concept review, MoDOT did express really no heartburn over vacating that potentially in the future, but that's not been requested by the applicant. It's not being pursued at this time. Just to, you know, full disclosure there. Again, here are the neighborhood protections and the transitional buffering standards in the UDC will work to mitigate a lot of the conflict between some type of commercial use on this property and the neighboring residential. And again, we're talking about multifamily, which is the higher end residential use versus something that's at a small scale in the commercial sense. So the conflict will already be fairly minimal, but again, we'll have a landscape buffer requirement depending on the end use and also the screening requirements. So again, the parcel size and access act as limiting factors again, and given all of those factors, staff's recommendation would be for approval of the requested rezoning to MC. And I'm happy to answer any questions for you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move on to questions for staff, I'd like to ask commissioners if anyone has had any ex parte related to this case, and if so, to share that with the commissioner, so all the full commission has the benefit of all the information related to this case. None. Are there any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planner Palmer, just to clarify, the remnant right away is a MoDOT property?
Yes.
Okay. Second thing is, would there be a curb cut allowed on Nifong? That's a pretty narrow aspect there.
On the north end, that's unlikely.
Unlikely. So it'd be well down state, what's called State Farm Parkway on this.
Basically, I'm speculating a little bit, but they would be limited basically to one entrance on State Farm Parkway, probably at the southern end, given enough spacing
that's the eastern side of Nifong.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very limited in access.
I guess we'll see what comes to us in the future. Thank you, Planner.
Commissioner Carroll.
I was going to ask if you could give us some discussion on the goals of nodal development and why you tend to recommend this?
Yeah, so nodal development is a concept that strives to concentrate higher intensity uses near higher intensity transportation intersections. And the reason for that being kind of multi-layered, it works for access primarily, but also in terms of placing the high traffic-oriented types uses, so the ones with the higher traffic levels, at those more accessible intersections. And it can have its own limiting factors. You know, this instance is an extreme example where this is a very busy intersection, and this actually is probably detrimental to the access to these properties, especially the one to the west. The goal of nodal development is to have our highest intensity uses at major intersections to kind of concentrate those and then disperse out. As Mr. Zinner mentioned on the previous case, you would feather that out into lower and lower intensity uses as you get into the smaller and less traffic streets and road network.
Thanks.
Commissioner Placer.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. One is, you mentioned that the comp plan recommended that this be neighborhood, and yet we're going to the more intense commercial use with this zoning, rezoning. And I'm not sure why, given the problems with ingress and egress. With this little sliver, I guess this is kind of leave no sliver left undeveloped kind of thing. But the other issue is you said that notifications were sent out to the owner of the townhomes. Now, so that was just one owner, but not the residents of the townhomes, correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
So the people impacted did not receive any communication.
We do advertise in the paper. You know, the hope is that they would get it that way. The general public receives that notice in that manner. That's what we require to redo by state statute. The letters are actually above and beyond that. We send postcards at the beginning of the process to those property owners, again, because that's kind of the database that we use. But yeah, generally the state statute required form of communication is via the newspaper ad. So.
Okay, I guess we skipped over my first question. I shouldn't have jumped to the second question, was about why MC? Why adjacent to a neighborhood to go, and with such a small space with such limitations,
sure,
go with the more intense zoning?
Yeah, I mean, if the applicant were to request an MN use here, I would have also supported that. Basically, it's a, you know, kind of an evaluation of location and you know, the anticipated impacts that site may have with that neighboring property, and just the general use of the code standards and what would apply, and knowing that you know, this is going to be limited in terms of what can be developed. The code works to mitigate the impacts that it might have, and then just kind of evaluating what that balance is. And again, you know, this all starts with the request is for MC, so that's what was evaluated. And so, you know, my evaluation was, is MC appropriate here? You know, given the scale, really is probably the biggest thing. I know that, you know, nothing super intensive is going to be put on that property, and so MC doesn't really give me a lot of heartburn. If you had, I mean, I'll just leave it at that. I think I've, you know, I'm kind of rambling at this point, but does that answer your question, though?
So I'm still might have a difference of opinion about it, but that's okay.
Ms. Placer, if I may, to support where Mr. Palmer is, the evaluation is based upon what the applicant has asked and what our comprehensive plan identifies as what the land use designation is based upon what the zoning of the property was in 2013. So the property across the street in 2013 was OP. OP is considered employment. And if it had been zoned C1, it would have been identified as a commercial property and in the commercial class. These two properties were identified as RMF and A. And as a result of that, the designation of neighborhood, which is what that would fit into, is what was applied to it based on the comprehensive plan's land use district classing. That does not necessarily mean that the comprehensive plan was properly calibrated based upon the road infrastructure that was here and the anticipated volumes of traffic to be located at this particular node. And so the land use district classifications, again, are based upon the zoning designation of the property at the time the plan was prepared. We often, through our evaluation, have to evaluate, was that zoning classification or that designation, the land use designation, correct based on the characteristics of the surrounding area now that the request is coming in? And by default, what will end up happening is the, I should say, what should happen by default is when and if this rezoning to MC is approved, the comprehensive plan land classification should be changed to commercial. However, our procedure is that the plan's designation does not do that at this point. If we readopt the land use plan, when we rewrite the comprehensive plan, it is likely that where we have changed zoning to be in a different district than what was originally in 2013, the new land use map for the city and the designations that are shown in the comprehensive plan will be appropriately assigned. Some communities do an amendment to their comprehensive plan, land use plan, at the same time that they do a rezoning. That is not a process that we utilize here. But the rezoning is basically what is helping. It's used, as Mr. Palmer pointed out, we use the rezoning process as an evaluation tool, and we have to look at all of the other surrounding land use factors that are influencing the site. And the nodal component in our plan is probably more what we fall on when we look at an intersection like this to create that nodal development, to concentrate your most intense uses to this intersection, because it has the most capacity. As Mr. Palmer pointed out, the capacity that this intersection can handle may be actually a detriment to the parcel in itself, because it's going to have other limitations placed on it.
At the time of the comp plan, did that residential area... At the time of the comp plan, did that residential area exist?
Yes.
Adjacent to it? Well, then my comment still stands. It is adjacent to a residential area. The residents were not consulted because only the owner of their residences is consulted in this case. So I still think it fits a different zoning category.
Additional questions? Commissioner Dunn.
So can you kind of walk me through, going back on Commissioner Placer's comments, you know, would a mixed use make sense in this area? I mean, given it's kind of on a busy roadway, you know, would residential property there be, if we had mixed use, would that be a better use of this property?
Just a quick reminder, talk into your microphone when you're speaking. You're fine. So if I were to evaluate a residential development there, I would point to the same issues and say, you know, if we can fit 10 apartments in a building on this site, which I kind of doubt, maybe you can. Now you have at least 10, maybe 20 vehicles worth of traffic that you're going to expect to come out of there a couple times a day. That's not that much, but, you know, long and short of it is, sure, that's probably, it's probably appropriate there as well, but then it's not really the highest and best use of that property, and I believe that a commercial use would be. And, you know, my evaluation of MC is that MN uses are more likely to happen here, given the size and the access. MC uses are appropriate given its location, so.
And as a M district, our M districts are by nature mixed, so this does have the ability at the applicant's discretion when it is sold to be used for a plethora of different uses. And so how the property is actually functionally redeveloped under the MC designation, it was going to be a whole lot of different factors going into that. You know, can you get a multifamily building on this property that anybody would want to live in? I think the issue of the old Nifong right-of-way being a buffer between this parcel as MC, if that is the direction that this were to head in, and that residential development provides that protection. It is, in some respects, when you look at multifamily, we normally, for a feathering perspective or a buffering perspective, you'd go MC, MN, MOF, which is office, and then RMF is how we would see this. So while the parcel is very narrow, as Mr. Palmer has indicated, and its development intensity is limited because of that, the uses, the MC, the most intense MC uses, a gas station, a car lot, something else, even a drive-through, a functional drive-through on this site may not even work because it just has limitations. And therefore, you're probably going to get something that I think we would view this as an MN office use that wants the exposure, an insurance office or something else. That would benefit from the exposure. I think what one would think if this parcel were a little bit bigger, gas station or possibly a drive-through. Gas station We have multiple gas stations within this area. We had a gas station that was proposed to the east, never materialized. There's saturation already in the area, and that is part of the problem as well. You have to come up with unique uses to make the property marketable. But as it currently sits, if it were MN, which is a choice that the commission can make, and the applicant can object to that, and you can vote how you see fit, it's probably going to be what's there. MC allows somebody that's creative the opportunity to maximize that, but it's going to be maximized only to the extent that our code is going to allow them to do the development that meets all of our other requirements, parking, setbacks, buffering, anything else that would apply.
Thank you.
Of course. Commissioner McMahon.
Just a thought on this property. For everyone's benefit, this property is about 44,000 square feet. If a developer, maybe Mr. Crockett can get half of that as usable property, I think he'd be doing great. It's most of it's not even 100 feet wide. By the time setbacks, buffering, parking, this building's 40 feet wide, maybe 150 feet long. No, not even that. It's really small, and it would be a very creative gas station if that's what that was going to be. But I could see. I was wondering who would want that, but someone want exposure. One of our friends in the legal field or an insurance company will want that kind of exposure. If it went office, you can, it's going to be really hard. Point being, it's really hard to put something MC in here because the parcel is smaller than the biggest MN building. As it is, we can go 50,000 an MN or something.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's not even that big as the biggest building. This building may serve, also with the Nifong cut through there, may serve as an additional buffer. And that's the reason I asked the questions about a curb cut along Nifong on the north. I don't think there's room for that. You'd have to be well south of it, so it's office. And also, this was done, for those of you who were, like Mr. Crockett and I, who've been here forever, you see the RMF to the left and the A to the right, Catso, this was all like pasture, okay? We're going to do commercial over here, and the road network developed differently. I do agree with your point. I do think renters should receive notification. I really do. I think that's problematic. But I don't have a problem with this as MC. I think they're going to have a hard time developing it as MN. But I'm going to put that on them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We've been talking about a buffer, and there is the buffer in the right-of-way. But I just wanted to clarify if there's any screening requirement or not.
Go ahead. I'll defer to you.
Because the road right-of-way exists, the property lines do not touch. Typically, the way that our screening and buffering standards exist, I think this is where you're going, it is normally where you have adjoining properties. So while the right-of-way is the de facto buffer right now between the subject site and the adjoining residential, the actual regulatory buffer would not be required because the road right-of-way does not hold a zoning designation. Now, we have, and I'd have to go back and I'd have to look at this, specifically, if the road right-of-way were vacated, the designation of the property, the designation of the road right-of-way would be split between the zoning, which means that the RMF would be brought to potentially a future MC line. If that were to occur at a point after development had happened, at which point there would be no, prior to that vacation, there would be no buffer, I believe, required because the two property lines are not joining. However, we're dealing with roughly a 44,000 square foot parcel, as Mr. McMahon pointed out. If they were to seek to vacate the road right-of-way, and the road right-of-way gets split between the adjoining properties, that 44,000 square feet may be improved or may be enlarged, because of the receipt of the old Nifong Boulevard frontage, and again, the applicant can address if that's maybe the intent. It may be, as Mr. Palmer pointed out, MoDOT doesn't seem to have an issue if they were approached to potentially consider that. But at that point, if you were to vacate and then develop, then you would have a buffer. You would have an MC against the RMF.
It's PD.
Or PD, and we would apply the residential standard.
Thank you.
That's how our arborist, generally when we look at PDs, we look at what the zoning, the land use in that PD is, and we apply the appropriate buffering requirement.
And I think the point I was trying to make in the written staff report, and probably didn't do a great job of verbally, was that you either end up with the spatial buffer of the right-of-way, or you end up with an installed physical buffer, yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly what we were trying to clarify. I appreciate it. Any more questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor for public comment.
Chair, members of the commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. I believe staff did a pretty good staff report. You're certainly aware of the site and the request that's before you tonight. I would like to just briefly talk about some of the questions that were asked previously. With regard to access to this site, we are correct. There is no access to Nifong Boulevard from this piece of property. MoDOT, when they acquired right-of-way for Nifong, they acquired the access rights as well. So they dictated and determined where access points would be allowed along Grindstone, and this piece of property doesn't have any such access, nor would it be allowed simply because of the operational distance from the intersection itself. So access to Nifong would be restricted. We're not going to be able to get that from MoDOT. So access would obviously come off of State Farm Parkway. We're going to have to illustrate to the city traffic engineer that we can use the site. Our traffic can come and go from the site and not interrupt that existing intersection. And so that's going to have to be illustrated by form of traffic impact study that illustrates and shows that. So they're going to push that access further to the south, out of the operational distance from that intersection. And so access will be handled in that way. You are correct. The size of this piece of property is a very limiting factor what we can do on this site. Now, Pat and Rusty, correct me if I'm wrong, but in an MN zoning district, the required parking in an MN cannot be in front of the building line. Is that correct, or am I just dreaming that?
It can be. I think it can't be any closer than 6 feet to the property.
Okay, so in MN, I can be 6 feet, same as MC. Okay, I was thinking that it was the other way. But again, the limited size, Mr. McMahon's correct. You know, we have 1 acre. This is certainly not the typical configuration that you have for 1 acre. We're going to be limited to the size on what we can and can't put here. So that's going to be a huge factor in what we can do and how we can develop it. So again, we're not going to see a high intense car wash. We're not going to see a high intense convenience store or anything along those lines. And so those major uses will be eliminated. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Questions for the speaker, Commissioner Carroll.
Is there a reason why you couldn't fit an RMF, or an RMF development would be unattractive on this property?
Well, in an RMF, and I do believe in an RMF, the setback, the in a commercial district, I can put the parking lot within 6 feet of the right-of-way line. I have to screen it, but in an RMF, in a residential district, the required parking has to set outside the building line. So when you look at the configuration of the piece of property, I have right-of-way on three sides. On all three sides, I'd have a setback, and then that parking has to be outside of that setback. So it's going to greatly limit the development of this piece of property even further. So we'd have to look and see how we could even configure a parking lot that would conform to the RMF standards with a building as well. So I think it would be, RMF would be extremely difficult to work on this piece of property.
Additional questions for this speaker? Great. I see none. Thank you. Any additional speakers on this case? Mr. Crockett, can you come back up?
Thank you. I had to contemplate what I wanted to say. Thank you. So we heard that there's a possibility of obtaining part of the right-of-way from MoDOT. Is that something that is being considered here? And would that be considered because you can use that for an egress?
I think there were some conversations with MoDOT years ago with that respect about obtaining that right-of-way back, and it didn't go anywhere at that time. Not sure what has taken place. We have not approached MoDOT here recently and even approached them to discuss that. I think that's partially due to the temperament that MoDOT had years ago and maybe not really too interested in giving that right-of-way back. And so, no, we have not contacted MoDOT to discuss that here recently.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. There's no additional speakers. We'll close public comment. Commissioner discussion. Commissioner Stanton.
I tend to agree with staff. MC is the highest, best use we can give, and Rocketing Company is going to have a lot of obstacles to fight anyway. And I support giving them their best shot at success because they're going to have a lot of obstacles to deal with.
Care to frame that? Oh, additional comment? Wait.
Okay, here's my additional comment.
Commissioner Carroll.
I do struggle with an upzoning to MC directly adjacent to RMF, given that it's currently zoned RMF and ag. I acknowledge that it's hard to build an RMF there, and I want to see this property developed. I don't like to see underutilized property at nodes like this. That said, half of this discussion has been why we don't expect to see the highest uses of MC, why we don't think they will be able to build a drive-through, why we don't think they will be able to build a gas station, to which point I have to wonder, why do we need MC then? What's the use of MC at that property? Because most of the uses that we are envisioning are allowable in the MN.
It sounded like it.
Sorry, Commissioner Wilson.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. It sounded like that was chosen because they thought there would be an issue with the parking. So even though MN was an option, it sounded like from an answer that we got earlier from Mr. Crockett that he thought that there was going to be an issue with having to park in the back or back of the building instead of the front of the building. But I don't know. Maybe I missed
it. For MN or for RMF?
Sorry. Let's not have a discussion. Sorry. If you can make your comments as comments.
Who's going to answer the question?
Commissioner Wilson, did you have any additional comment? Thank you. Commissioner McMahon?
I think staff could answer that question if someone were directed at them.
Can you repeat it? And I'll be happy to.
It's not my question. I just want, where's the parking go? If this is MN, where does the parking go? If this is MC, where does the parking go?
In any commercial or mixed-use district, they are allowed to place parking in the front yard setback, the 25-foot typically, which was Mr. Crockett's comment asking whether MN was the same standard as MC, and it is. RMF, however, would require that parking be placed outside of those setbacks, and that includes all of the setbacks, I believe, side and rear yards also, which further limits where that can be placed, and therefore limits the buildable area of the lot. So,
I ask Mr. Crockett a question. Can we reopen?
We have to open the floor again. Yeah. So I just want to make sure there's no additional discussion. No. Okay, we're going to close commissioner discussion, reopen public discussion. Mr. Crockett?
In the spirit of...
He needs to think of his name and address.
Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong.
Thank you.
In the spirit of Commissioner Stanton's win-win, given that an MN would allow you to place a parking lot just as you would for an MC, will an MN zoning allow you to do what you want to do with this property?
Well, we don't have an end user at this time, and so I can't say that it'll allow us to do what we want to do because we don't have that end user. So I can't speak to that.
That's my only question. Yeah, thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close public comment, reopen commission discussion. In pursuing the, I'll just throw in a comment, in pursuing the uses that are allowed under MC versus MN, it does appear it will be more difficult to employ some of the larger MC uses on the site. The ones mentioned also hotel, I don't envision going on here. Travel trailer park, again, I don't see going on. Self-service storage facility. Probably not. So I think drive-in theater, well, it's a conditional use. So the limitations of the site are going to be self-limiting to a large degree, even with the MC zoning. Further comments? Commissioner Dunn.
I feel inclined to agree with Commissioner Carroll on this. I think mixed use, MN, makes more sense.
Commissioner Stanton?
I'd like to entertain a motion. Just put it on the table. We either vote for what the applicant wants. If you agree with what the applicant wants, you vote yes. If you don't, vote no.
We've asked the applicant if they would entertain an MN, and they've denied that. So yes, it's MC or up or down. Right. Thank you, Mr. Sam.
As it relates to case 166-2023, Southwest Nifon Boulevard and State Farm Parkway, I recommend approval of the requested rezoning from A and RMF to MC.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Commissioner McMahon.
Just a second thought, a couple second thoughts. As soon as you lose a 25-foot setback on this, you've lost a quarter of the property. And those ends, you've probably lost another quarter. The biggest thing going on here is probably going to be about 15, 20,000 feet. While there are MC uses that might fit in that footprint, they're not very big and they're not very impinge upon the neighborhood too much. I mean, bare bones, this property is worth more MC than it is MN, and they don't know what they're going to do, so I get why they want MC. That said, this is going to be really hard to develop. There's already a 100-foot barrier from the Nifong remnant right away. Approximately, what's the width of that barrier?
I honestly don't know. If
it's a minimum of about 100, I think.
I mean, it would be anywhere from 50 to 100. I guess.
Because of these uses and because this got chopped up by the road, I'm going to support Commissioner Stanton's motion.
Additional comments?
I'll give my last comment.
Commissioner Carroll?
An unused property here is pointless. The existing zoning with ag and RMF, I think, will, as it's split there, will almost guarantee that it's unused. I think MN is better. I don't get the point of MC here, especially if we're going to convince ourselves that it's okay because all of the things that are, most of the things that are MC that we would disagree with can't fit, but most of the things that are MC that would fit are MN. I don't see the point, but I don't see the point in leaving it as is either. I think, regretfully, I will support this because I don't want a useless piece of property sitting there either.
Additional comments? Commissioners know I'm very reticent to upzone property next to residential. And sometimes I'm on the other side of the fence when we take a vote on this. However, in this case, this property is not directly adjacent to the residential. If the right-of-way was developed, it would be across the street. And I think we wouldn't be having any of this discussion. And we still maintain that distance regardless of whether it's built out or not. This would be commercial or mixed-use corridor across the street from a multifamily, which is, I believe, a very different situation. Given that the right-of-way is not developed, there's the potential for this to come together, but we don't know if that'll ever happen. And we do have some protection in place should that ever come to pass. While I actually do think this is an appropriate location for MC, especially if that right-of-way was developed, given the intersection. So I don't think those uses are inappropriate. Given that, there's the potential for the adjacency to occur, I feel more reassured, given the natural constraints of the site, that the uses on that location won't be ones that are very incongruous with what's next to it. So I intend to support it. Any additional comments? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Dunn?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Placer?
No.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
We have 7 yes votes and 1 no. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That is it for our cases for this evening. Moving on to public comments. If there are none, we will move on to staff comments.
So I'm back in the driver's seat and not being called Commissioner Zenner. I did watch the last meeting. I appreciate the accolades, but I'll keep manager. You do have a meeting coming up in July. It will be July 6th, so enjoy watching the fireworks and a hamburger or a hot dog on the grill and come ready to have a robust discussion of our residential cottage standards, and that discussion continued from this evening's meeting and work session, and the proposal of a solution to address council's concerns as it relates to utilizing substandard lots within our community in an alternative manner to how we allow them today. And then we will pivot into our regular scheduled meeting, which has got 3 cases on it, one twofer, and then one standard public hearing at 7 p.m. And the twofer is a rezoning and a proposed preliminary plat. And this is ironically right up the alley for why we are discussing an RC district. The applicant is seeking to rezone from RMF to R2 with the intent for cottage development standards. The preliminary plat is being brought to you, so there is a concrete evidence that that is the applicant's intent. However, that plat will not be presented to City Council for consideration until the Board of Adjustment has had an opportunity to confer the ability to use the dimensional standards that are currently under their purview in the R2 district. And we cannot receive the Board of Adjustment's application until the R2 zoning is approved. This is our process that we are trying to correct, and hopefully we will have that done here within the next several months to create the RC district, making it a little bit more easy for greenfield development to occur with alternative housing. And then The regular public hearing is at the northwest corner of I-70 Drive Northwest. This is a rezoning of an R1 and MOF property to R2. I cannot recall if we're looking at doing this in cottage or if we're looking at doing it as a standard R2 residential subdivision at a point in the future. This is a very bizarre tract, to say the least. The corner of Garden Drive and I-70 Drive Northwest is not part of the request. So it is a parcel removed from the actual corner lot, one to the north on Garden Drive and then one to the east on I-70 Drive Northwest. Those are the parcels and they are interconnected. And the R2 zoning allows for more zoning that's more accommodating or at least akin to what is further to the north up on Garden Drive. All three of these requests, ironically, also were Mr. Kelly's. So the deadline for these reports are before he leaves, and he has assured me that he will have the staff reports written for my red line editing before they get presented to you by myself. So Mr. Palmer may not be here at our next meeting. So I will deliver the reports on all of these for the commission, and we will then move on to our next meeting in July, and we do have items for the second meeting in July as well, as we will be continuing a conversation and work session, either as it relates to our RC district standards or the request that council has asked us to try to address the substandard lot issue, or we will be talking about our favorite topic, and that is short-term rental. So if you have not dove into the short-term rental survey, public engagement comments that were provided to us, please do so. Please gather your thoughts around what the topics are that GDP didn't create for us, intelligence software that we utilized. Identify your own thoughts and be prepared, because what we have to look at, as I've said previously, is we need to figure out how, if there is a way of addressing some of those concerns that have been expressed in the code that we currently have. As I also pointed out this evening during work session, we will have an opportunity to meet with council coming up here soon. It'll either be at the end of July or potentially and more likely at the beginning of August. So if you do want to take a summer vacation while school is out, and if you have children, they're out as well, please do so maybe before the beginning of August if you can. If not, we will miss you. But we are also trying to ensure that we keep the short-term rental project moving forward so we can, prior to the end of hopefully this calendar year, have an ordinance before City Council that is able to be implemented next year. With that, that is all we have to offer. I am glad to be back, not glad to be losing staff, as we were also discussing this evening in work session. Mr. Kelly will be moving on, and we wish him the best. It has been an enjoyable opportunity to work with him for the last 2.5, almost 3 years. So, and I have been gone. I don't think we, as all of you know, Mr. Palmer was promoted to our senior planner. He filled Clint's position. We're still looking to fill Rachel's former position. Since being promoted, Mr. Palmer has also passed his American Institute of Certified Planners test, and he is AICP certified now. So while I lost Mr. Smith and I'm losing Mr. Kelly, I at least have gained another AICP planner, which means he's got a much higher level of ethics that he has to hold to than me. I'll broker deals anyway every day of the week. Mr. Palmer can't, or he'll lose his certification. So I'm the unscrupulous one. This is the scrupulous one. If you actually want good answers and honest ones, go to him only. With that, that is all we have to offer. Thank you for your attention this evening in both work session and here.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Congratulations, Mr. Palmer. Commissioner comments. Commissioner McMahon.
Move to adjourn.
Oh, wait. I just wanted to say, I didn't realize Mr. Kelly wouldn't be with us when we got to the meeting. So please convey our utmost gratitude in his working with us. He was a good partner in all these sessions, and we shall miss him. So, and again, Mr. Palmer, congratulations, and welcome back, Mr. Zenner. You were missed. All right, we have a move to adjourn, or any other comments? If not, we have a move to adjourn.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Stanton. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.